For those of you who don't know me, those of you who are new, Portland, and who else said they were new? Edmonton, we know, and Montreal. Okay. I'm Lisa, the Chief Program Officer here at the network. And I get the pleasure of running all these affinity groups for all the professionals in the network. And Rebecca Konefsky is the co-chair of this group, and she is someone who I used to work with, as you may have known, back when I was the executive director at JFS of Greenwich. She was in Stanford, and we used to spend a lot of time talking about clients that we potentially shared. So I know that it's a difficult position to be in yours, and you have a lot of the weight of the world on your shoulders and families' lives. And I just wanted to say that I think that you guys are great, and I'm very impressed with all you've done this long, long year, as Rebecca said. So I'm going to hand it over to Rebecca, who will lead us in this, we hope to be experiential and hands-on affinity group where we can learn from each other, best practices and intakes and et cetera.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Hi, everybody. Rebecca Konefsky. Many of you know, I have met, and for those who are new, welcome. We really appreciate you being here. This group, we go around and around. It's been an interesting group to run this pandemic because many people are finding we're in crisis mode, and so we really do rely heavily on your input and feedback for what's important for this group, because we want to make this time worthwhile. And so as if you know, at the end of the group, we're going to save the last 5 minutes of this group to do a quick survey. Sometimes it's hard to get people to find the time to fill them out afterwards. So we're actually going to capture this moment while we have you. I know that most people probably have a hard stop at 1 hour. So Lisa, we'll say by 3:50, let's go ahead and get people onto the survey. And we just really want you to take your time and give us constructive feedback so that we can make this time valuable. And we have found that the feedback is how we developed the survey. It was the feedback that helped us guide what we're going to do in the next year with this affinity group. So today we're talking about about process, because there's so much that we can gain from each other. And very interesting. One of the things that we said in reaching out to you about coming today was, could you please bring an example of the form that you use for your intake process, so that we could share that? And also, let's talk about what are some of the determining factors that go into your intake process and making decisions in, once someone's already in process, making decisions that get you to the finish line, whatever that looks like for that client. So,
How many people want to share their intake forms? Let's just get a sense
do
as
a
to that.
big, does everyone know how to do reactions? If you do a reaction, raise your hand. Okay, then just physically raise your, either put a little thumbs up in there if you want to share. How
Who
do
wants to share? Let's just see. We
you?
need all of you. What do you mean? None of you want to share their intake forms? Aren't you doing this?
Uh-oh,
Okay. No,
Jennifer Glade. Uh-oh,
so
Jen.
the reason that we are asking that is we're wondering if we wanted to go into breakout rooms if so many people wanted to share, but it doesn't look like we have that many. But we encourage you to, because we can learn from each other. So,
Share.
Rosa, you're new, right? Look at that. Okay, let's see it.
Oh, I don't have it as ready right now, but I'll come back to it. I'm trying to pull it out, and I'm not up in the VPN, and I can look at it. So
Okay.
I'm asking my team member if they can email it to me at this moment.
Okay.
I'll come back to you.
Hold
Okay.
on, Lisa. I'm helping Jen get on. Hold
I
on.
sent her the link. So, anyone else? What about you, Rebecca, Lehigh Valley? Let's
I
get
could
it.
share it. I mean, we hate our form, like really like hate our form. So I'm here to beg, borrow, and steal.
I love that. Okay,
I have a question.
I mean, I could share it, and you could look at it and know why we hate it.
No, I want to just, can I do full disclosure? Because just because I'm running this affinity group with, and the other, and Jen is coming on. Here she is.
Coming on right now.
Sorry, guys.
The West Coast and the East Coast. But I actually, I hate my form also. And I don't even have a database. Okay, I just want you to know, I'm like, I hate my data. But I have to share with the clinical department, and it's horrible. It's really it's a database that's meant for medical orders for our psychiatrists to put in medical orders. It's horrible. So anyways, I'm willing to go first. I would love for you guys to be like, oh, that's terrible, Rebecca.
Okay. So sure. Then you go, and then Tatiana, then Rosa, and whoever else wants to share.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Sure.
Thanks. It's Susan from Montreal. So I put it in the chat, but I didn't share my form because my form is built into my database.
Yeah.
So you want me to take a picture of my database? And I'm not even sure what.
Or we can let you share your screen and you could just pull it up. Like I am going to show you. I'm going to pull up on my screen right now.
I'm
going to
try and do that while you're doing yours.
Okay. Did you give multiple people the permit? Okay, whatever. Hold on.
Everyone can share their screen.
Perfect.
One at a time.
So here we go. So the first thing that happens is someone calls me and they say, that's my family in the background. There you go. Someone, they call me and they say, you know, I need an appointment. I literally made this on Word. Okay. So I have the client fill out the top. Can you guys see it?
Yes.
I'll make it bigger. I have the client fill out the top. Then I fill out the bottom, and these are the different programs that we offer. So it clicks like, did I refer them to counseling? Did I refer them to the Kosher Food Pantry? Here's their consent to receive services, and we both sign that. And then I do a safety screening on the back that just says, are they at risk to themselves? Are they at risk to others? Okay, then I have, and again, this is all because we're COA accredited. So I'm required by COA to have these certain forms. So this is, I'll just show you. This is our this was approved by COA. And it just talks about fees for service, appointments, rights and responsibilities, complaint and appeal, consent. And they have to sign the consent and then follow up and aftercare. And the last thing that I do is they do an assessment tool called a SPAIN.
Go slower.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. So this is called the SPAIN. And then they fill in the SPAIN. And I'll show you what the SPAIN looks like. So just what you were saying that you have this on your, so this is our, this is our database. It's called ICA Notes. It's a behavioral health EHR. And hold on 1 second. Sorry, I'm just trying to.
What is it, COA?
Oh, I'll tell you more about that. And then this is the, and then I put the SPAIN in. And it actually, and I'm just going to stop sharing. That's the whole.
Do the SPAIN? Like what people are feeling, positive, negative, joy, like what does that even mean in terms
exactly. It's just because, okay, so basically our COA is an accreditation body, and what they do is they come through every 3 years and make sure that our agency is meeting certain standards of service. And it's just another, is anyone else on here accredited? Their agency's accredited. Haviva, tell us about, who do you guys work with?
Also, we call it COA. I don't know which one it is. Who knows? Same place, though. They just, as opposed to CARF, we used to be CARF accredited, where they would do each program. But this COA does the whole agency.
Right.
So we were just re-accredited, which was great. But yeah, and remotely, which was interesting.
Wow. And so, yes. And so, and you're also, Jen, you're from CARF. Yep. So that's, and so basically all that happens is that COA, our accreditation agent body, says that we are required to have some kind of assessment tool that monitors the client's progress from intake to termination. So the Spain just shows, like, if they started in a terrible place, like maybe they were totally negative, did they get moderately better, much better by the end? It just gives us an assessment tool that we can turn into some kind of usable data.
Rebecca, what's the purpose of being accredited for this? I mean, what do you get back from it?
Can I let Lisa, if you were a CEO, can you?
Yeah. So the reason that people get accredited is because it, you know, gives you some sort of clout and prestige, and you can write it on your, you know, all of your forms that you've been accredited by a national organization, and they have very strict standards. So anyone who is accredited, any agencies who is accredited by COA, anyone who knows anything about this would say, oh, they have strict standards, they must be a great place. Now, the reason that JFS of Greenwich never did it is because it was so much work and no one really knows what it is. However, you know, for some agencies, it's very important. And, you know, far be it from me to decide what agency should do it and which agency shouldn't. But
Lisa, I was just gonna add, like,
that was an interesting, Rebecca, database, whatever that form was, because it was barely anything. It was like presenting problem, you know?
Yeah, it was vague.
So let's see someone else's.
I could try.
Okay.
Thank you,
Susan. But thank you, Rebecca. I see what you mean.
Okay, so how do I, somebody help me out here?
Share your screen.
Yeah, I'm looking for share my screen.
On the bottom of your screen, there's a green button.
Thank you for saying that. Jen just wants everyone to, some contracts require accreditation because they set best practice.
Right,
they make sure that we are upholding best practices.
Right.
Okay.
And that's why a lot of agencies do it, Jen, you're right, because they can get funding from it.
Are you guys seeing my screen?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so what I did, I couldn't be on my database at the same time as my Zoom for a lot of reasons. So I sent myself the intake opening note. I have three notes for intake. The first one is what you're seeing here, which is really a data collection note. So this is the intake opening note. Is it COVID related? So the first one was specifically around collecting information for COVID, and this is for Frank Doe. So there's, you know, this is my sample thing. Then we have the presenting issue, and these are both tick off in text, the intervention plan, the documents in the file, the disposition. What did we do? Because it could come to intake and transfer to counseling or employment, etc. If there's a fee, if we closed it right away at intake, we do burials. So there's a burial section. This is really the first opening. And this is mainly data collection and the opening of the file. The next one, which I didn't send to myself, is the assessment. And that is, again, there are drop downs, but it's assessment and intervention plan in more detail. And then I have a third choice, which is ongoing intake notes. But this is the first one to open the file, and it's primarily a data collection so that I can run reports on any of these questions.
That's great.
Yeah, it works. I mean, I'm quite happy with it. We're refined. Stop sharing. You're right. Mm-hmm. How do I get out of here?
You're just on the top.
No, it's not quite the same on my iPad.
Oh yeah.
But I'm getting out of there. I'll get out of there in a sec.
You got out.
We have a file management committee. We are constant quality improvements in terms of changing our notes, but these are relatively new. Every department has an opening, an interim, and a closing. We've moved a great deal from text to drop down so that we can obviously collate data. But we still have a lot of text because we're still a human service agency and I want to read a story. So that's what we have. Yeah. And I'm happy to, if there's a way I can probably share these. I just have to ask IT how to get them out and share them.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Okay.
It was very comprehensive. So someone, Rebecca said she wanted to share. I think maybe.
Did someone have a question for me?
I have a quick question. Susan, how does someone come from intake into doing that full assessment? Is there a one form for just the intake part and then you move into the assessment?
This is the first thing you do to open the intake form. And it is, so this is at the first meeting. And then the next note, the assessment will be, it's more detailed. And yeah, that'll be the next time that you do a note.
Okay. And when they just call, they get set up for that appointment, just based on a phone call and a few bits of information, they go from calling for help to the first appointment.
Yeah, they, the call might be the first appointment because the first call is with intake. So it may be scheduled for, depends on the nature of it, maybe immediate and they'll open the file in the call or on the Zoom, or it may be scheduled for a later date depending on availability of staff and the nature of the issue. We always respond within 24 hours in any case.
Perfect. Thanks.
Sure.
Nice. So does Rebecca want to go next?
Sure. Can I screen share? Okay. So we have, just so you know, we have our database is Apricot through Social Solutions. And we are actually looking to upgrade it to so that we have a dashboard and some other stuff. And when we first built Apricot, it was myself and an intern as a social worker. We now actually have an IT person. So a lot of the things that are in here are based on me and not necessarily best practices. So we have, you're not seeing, I'm not showing you everything. So you have like a general intake screen that has like basic demographics, and then it takes you over to the various forms. So this would be the assessment form for case management. So, you know, you would address the housing situation.
Okay, hold on, you're going fast.
Okay, so we tried to come up with, you know, as many, you know, the housing questions. Options. Mm-hmm. And I agree, there is that issue of wanting a narrative and also being able to collect your data, right? You have to kind of balance that within the form. There's no question about it. And then we also have a separate place for case notes and a separate place for treatment plans. Mm-hmm. They're not all housed together.
So you can say how many clients' rent exceeds 75% of their income. You can pull up data that says that.
We don't particularly go after that, but potentially, yeah, we could. We don't go hard on that one. And like mm-hmm. I said, we should have set it up to address it that way. And this year, everything was just so different. Like, you know, we just didn't really do these assessment forms. Everything was financial, and we created a whole different assessment tool for COVID, for strictly financial, because we had FEMA money, we had EFSP money that we just, and it just ran differently. So but we try to, on a general case management client, we would want this form completed.
Well, I like this because it's so clear. You know, a lot of the questions, you know, normally when I would, you know, meet with people who would come in, like, I never got all these questions. I sort of talked to people a lot. I didn't have specific questions to ask, which I guess is, you know, not terrific. And maybe that's how other agencies are, but having something that's so structured seems like it could be, you know, helpful to anyone who is coming into this position.
And again, but, you know, forms are only good as the people who enforce them.
Right.
So we had the housing, and then you come down income. Again, we don't go into great detail. What is missing here? If there's additional income from other people in the household, this is a very, you know, kind of, you know, surface on the surface kind of form. So mm-hmm. we know that we need some more we should be getting more information there.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have a separate financial intake. If I'm doing financial assistance, I actually have a whole separate form where I really get into income and expenses and really take them through those paces.
Can you share that form another day?
I can share it now as well. I can take you to this. So then we also get down to food questions. We have a food pantry. So we ask about food insufficiency, if there's issues with utilities. where they stand with that. Have they applied for LIHEAP, trying to go through, you know, trying to cover our bases. Physical health. So again, mental health is a really tough question. Self-disclosure, really limited. So they might tell you up top that they're getting SSDI. You come down here, you're not necessarily, you know, your information is only as good as how they self-report in some cases, but right. We do try to kind of cover. And we have a separate form for older adults. The older adults is a much more comprehensive, like ADLs, right? Things like that as well. So we ended up with a lot of forms, which is a good and a bad.
Mm-hmm. You don't have a universal form.
We don't, because because at the time we didn't have skip logic. I can tell you why. We didn't have skip logic when we built this. I don't know if everybody knows what skip logic is, but like if over 65, then it takes you to this question. Mm-hmm. If you're under 65, it takes you to this series of questions.
Oh,
yes. So as we move forward and we upgrade and we go to the skip logic, the truth is if we can think clearly, we should be able to have, we should be able to house it better. So if you're getting SSDI, what, you know, why, you know, like it should work that way. So if you're looking at databases, if you're looking at your, how you build your forms, that's some of those areas to consider. So again, as a social worker, I've learned a lot. Safety and security.
What were the last four questions? Does the client report limited social interactions? I guess, interactions. Does the client report feeling isolated? Okay.
We're just trying to get a sense of where they are psychologically, uh-huh. You know, how they're functioning there. Do they feel safe in their home, their neighborhood? We ask the legal concerns. Again, clutter, we've had some hoarding situations. So you'll see most of these, we did not make this form mandatory, right? So a lot of these, you don't have to answer a lot of these questions. It can be something that you go back and do, or at the discretion of what the client is there for. If you like, right? So if you make too many things mandatory and it doesn't apply, it becomes really cumbersome. And you kind of, right, you're trying to establish rapport and sometimes you might not get the answer the first time around and it might change. So we found that we really didn't make too many things mandatory on this form in thinking about it. And then that was it for this form. So I can show you other form. Hopefully I can kind of keep this, where is it?
So you're gonna show us the just financial.
So these are all my documents. Yeah, so I can show you a financial request. So here we had the emergency, that was strictly COVID. Uh-huh. That we're done. I ran it. I finally finished, I think, most of my money. So here's a request for direct financial assistance. Where's
that? So when it says zero records, that just means
they
that.
Didn't, right. So this client, if you're looking at this client,
oh, this is just a professional client.
Right. So here's how it's right. So I'll give you. So if he went to the food pantry, we know how many times he went to the food
I see.
Pantry. Uh-huh. Right. We'd be able to see how many dates.
Wow.
All the different referrals. In the agency, right? So we have financial assistance, counseling, food yep. pantry, referral. And the services that they were enrolled in were over here.
Right, 73 this, case notes. That's amazing. Right.
Yeah, this was a really, this was this case, guardianship, there was an issue. This was a serious, he ended up getting placed in a facility at the beginning of COVID that was subpar that required, this case was crazy for COVID.
And then he died.
And then he died.
So
but at least we had resolved some of the stuff with him. And we were able to get some, his stuff went missing. They moved him and his stuff went missing.
Hold on for a second.
They had a guardian who didn't care. This is
that's horrible. This is a terrible story, but hold on for a minute. How many of you, show of hands, have a system, a database comprehensive like this? So not all of you.
Well,
I mean, this looks very user-friendly to me, the way it lists it.
It's getting better.
Yeah.
It was getting better. And again, the fact that in the beginning you had a social worker and an intern building it, literally building it, made it a lot harder in the long run. And now that I have we've hired somebody for IT and we have some grant money for some projects and some things like that. We're doing better at cleaning it up. Like we finally just got billing, clinical billing, a form cleaned up in here to be able to do it through the database.
Nice.
So we're learning. I can't tell you how important the database is, because when COVID hit, we turned around for a lot of grant money because we had data. We did an older adult survey. I built it March 8th, and by March 16th, we were calling people, getting that information in, and able to use the data to write grants right away.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So, we're going to show us a financial.
Yeah, so here's the original financial request. So a little explanation of need. That narrative is always helpful. The various categories that we would help with, and if they were getting from other agencies, and had they applied previously. Now, obviously with the database, I would know that, but just, you never know. And again, like release and information forms, you can actually upload them in here. We haven't been great about it. Mm-hmm. And then I go to the current income to the best of their ability.
Mm-hmm.
And this, automatically at the bottom here, will tally the income.
Nice.
And then you come down to the obligations. I first tried to like build in the obligations. It's too hard. Mm-hmm. It's way too hard. So it's easier for me to manually put them in rent, whatever it is that they have, because it's just very hit or miss with them. And again, it automatically will tally it at the bottom. That way you can really go back to income, to what's going out, to the, their ability. And then it's just the outcome down here. What were they approved, what they requested versus what they were approved. We have various funds that we use, so I could track it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That is a full-time job.
You can do
and who we made the check out to, and that, and that kind of stuff.
So if you have a funder report for the money you paid out, can you pull it from that?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
You can. But like I said, for COVID, I didn't build it in that way for COVID. For COVID, we had a bunch of different monies, and it was easier to work off a spreadsheet for the COVID funds than through the database.
Yeah.
To track that spend down.
Mm.
Do you verify their income and expenses, or you just take word of mouth?
I do a little savings? Bit. It depends on what funds I'm using and what I'm required to do. My rule of thumb is, unless I have to know it, I don't ask it, because the amounts we're giving are never that, it depends. So my EFSP fund, that's FEMA money through United Way. They had specific requirements, and I would only do the minimum. So proof of income, and during COVID, people didn't have proof of income half the time. And they needed, the landlord needed to fill out a certain part of the form. And my agency required a W-9 by the landlord.
Right.
And other than that, I took them at word of mouth, and that was it.
What's the most that you can give to any one client?
So generally, as a rule of thumb, non-Jewish client, if I'm working with the FEMA money, it's 1 month's rent.
But what if the rent is $3,000?
It would be at my discretion. I don't have clients applying who have that much rent.
Okay.
Like I would say it's anywhere in Allentown for the population I deal with, it's probably anywhere from $750 to $1,500 would have been the maximum for their rent.
Oh, wow. That's very different than our local, Boca area.
Now, our Jewish clients, that funding comes through a fund through Federation. So if I did during COVID had somebody, who had like a mortgage of $3,000 that I could cover.
Okay.
Yeah, if I needed to. But our financial assistance clients in our zip code, not that high.
Okay. So
I guess my forms aren't so bad.
And they're not. I was going to say. Can you you can stop sharing so someone else can. But that was great. Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
All right, great. Haviva, do you want to share next?
Yeah, I'm just realizing everything that was just shared. We have pretty similar idea, but and I'm happy.
Just be mindful of time. Let's say, I'm just looking at the time, 3:30. So probably if you want to share for like 8 minutes.
Sure.
Thanks.
So I'll share my screen. The first thing we do is we probably get, sorry for everything that's up. Hold on 1 second. We probably get a phone call from our resource center.
My computer is frozen. I'm going to try this again. We get a phone call to our resource center, someone asking for assistance. If they're a good fit for case management, family support services, so emergency financial assistance, or to work with a social worker on long-term goals, and if they're in crisis, then they're assigned and we do send
them. How do you know that? That's part of the whole point.
We ask for proof of income. So that screening tool isn't my team. It's a different team. So I was trying to look for that while we were doing this, but they ask for their name, date of birth, what their income is, what they're experiencing. They do some referrals prior, and they do ask safety questions. Are you on any medication? Do you have suicidal ideation? So that's a total of like 10 questions. It's more of making sure that we connect with the person so that we can provide ongoing support if it's a good fit. So if they're 200% or below the federal poverty guideline and they're in a financial crisis and or emotional, usually that's when we know it's a good referral. And they'll send it to my team, our way, to Family Support Services. Then we give the client, we have a lot of stuff actually, which is good and bad, as someone said. First, we give them I have two screens here that I think that's why I ran into that issue when I shared my screen. Let me try again now. Apologize.
Head west on Honkin Street toward Marcy Street, then turn right.
Okay, where are you going, Susan? I'm kidding.
I was going to say, hopefully that's not me because I'm not picking anything up.
That's okay. I'm going to the airport in a few minutes. I got to pick somebody up.
Okay.
This is
our Boston.
Personal history form. I hope this is helpful. I was trying to think of other things that we do that someone didn't show yet. We actually give this to someone before they come in for an appointment, whether it's virtually or before COVID in person. It can be overwhelming, but we actually just tell the person it's so that we can identify what you're eligible for and what you've gone through. So it does ask demographics. Let me know if I'm going too fast. What happened to make you decide to seek help now? So we have kind of those check boxes, but we also have the places where people could fill in.
You know, that's an interesting, hold on for 1 second, if I may be so bold. You know, someone could really write like eight, they could check off eight things. And then you have like a sentence to write. Like there's not enough room to fill that out.
For there's a lot more is what I'll say. That's why when we handed it to people in the office, it was 4 pages already. Like there's only so much room you want it. This is more of a, when you go to your doctor's office and they have you check things off, it's intentional. So hopefully we're not overwhelming the person too much, but we have a good enough idea of why they came in. So we're not wasting their time.
Okay.
But you're right. Like I'd love to have more lines, but you're going to see how long it is.
Okay.
So then we have household information. We ask about education, employment. Then they have opportunity to talk about their current employment, insurance, if they need insurance, legal, if they need legal. So similar, but we actually, right now remote, we'll email it to the person and we're trying to make it fillable so it's more user-friendly, saying, please prepare for your appointment so that we just don't want to waste anyone's time. So if we know all they need is food, then this is a lot to ask someone to fill out if they only need food resources. That's when we'd make it a consult versus ongoing assistance and we just give those resources. But this is for someone who might have more than one need and we're trying to narrow it down. So we do have the self-harm assessment.
This
trauma
is a long
history
one.
It's very long. That's why if we put more lines it would be 10 pages probably. But you're definitely right.
They fill it out beforehand. They fill this out beforehand for a case management appointment.
Exactly.
For any appointment,
even if it's only financial. We haven't gotten any feedback from community members that this bothers them too much. So until we get that feedback, we're going with it. We do have surveys. We ask, how are your services? So we haven't gotten feedback that there's too much paperwork, which I'm surprised by. But again, with everything
we're trying to... Did they ever just not fill out parts of it? Do they just not fill out parts?
There are times where people will leave things blank and our staff will just circle back with the person and say, hey, you left this blank. I'm just making sure if there's anything you want to share on this topic. But usually I've seen the self-harm section be left blank, and then we circle back and we ask about suicidal ideation and supports, and we find out that's their highest need is and they're at risk. Mm-hmm. So it speaks volumes when someone leaves it blank too. So,
and then you put this in a database.
That's what I'll show you now. So this is all completed. They hand it over to the person they'll be working with. And then here is, I can show you the database probably. I have it up right there. But we have the ability to print from our database. So I pretended it's client J test. So I pretended that, let me close out my Outlook for a second. Sorry about that.
Well, that's so funny because these emails were coming in. I'm looking like, who is David? Who's Alana? Yeah. You know, I thought it was mine.
Coworkers. So I'm just turning that off. Sorry about that. So let's see here. So this is similar information, and this is what we were referring to from someone else who presented, who said that they can pull the information and use it for funding purposes. So unemployment, we can report from beginning to end if someone came in unemployed that they may be at a 5 now. So the rating, you'll see, the rating is something we definitely made up. Like, how did we come up from 1 to 5? Oh, where did it go? How did we get from 1 to 5? We just took staff feedback, honestly, and said, what do we feel like is missing if we only do 1, 2, 3? So you'll see lack of necessary support from family or friends. So we ask a lot of questions. We find for self-sufficiency purposes that a lot of people have a lot of trauma, and if we don't acknowledge it, it's hard for them to get back on their feet. So income, we can pull a report seeing who came in with no income and now has sufficient income. What else? Transportation, food, health insurance. So everything that was on there, we can now plug into here.
Who plugs it in?
Double the work, probably. But at least we have client can self-report.
Who plugs it in?
We have a team of 7 social workers that have.
So the social workers themselves plug it into the database.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that was different. No, and then we have if someone's asking for financial assistance, this is our financial assessment, which goes into the electronic client file in our database.
And that's an Excel form.
Yeah, we can't figure out a better way, but I know someone presented on this in a different meeting and it's pretty similar. So I feel like we're all doing, we do ask more than bare minimum because in order to be eligible for our financial assistance, we do have to be able to prove we're resolving a crisis. So if we see all this and say, oh, we help with $1,000 in rent, here we can see if they'll be back on their feet with will they still have a deficit or will they come out of this deficit? Which might take months.
But you'll continue to pay rent until they come out of their deficit?
Just a one-time assistance. So mm-hmm. we will do referrals and work with different community partners. So mm-hmm. somebody might pay rent. We might pay a DTE bill. We will, especially during COVID, we're finding we're doing this even more, that we're all working together to, and then hopefully employment, things of that nature, mm-hmm. more stable income. Hopefully that person can at least see in their hope in their future that they'll get back on their feet.
When you have them, you have them come in and fill that form out?
Or right now we're virtual. So we're mailing them, emailing them. We have it on our website that they can download. But yes, they're emailing it back or mailing it back. If we were in person, they'd be filling it out in the waiting room.
So walk us through the process? Do they first call the agency?
Yes. They first call the agency, express their needs. So they might say, I really need help with rent and I just lost my job. What can you do for me? And then we'll explain, we have a case management department that will really see what everything you're experiencing and try and figure out what you're eligible for, if we can help financially, and you'll have someone by your side through this crisis that you can call.
Let me just, when they call, do they immediately get put through to a social worker?
No, it's called, we call it our resource center. So it's the first point of contact. So anyone could call for anything. They could say, oh, where's the closest kosher food pantry? And that person will refer them. Or they'll say, I need help with the example I just said. And then they'll put them on a wait. It's not a wait list, but pend them to Family Support Services. And then someone on our team will call them back.
Mm-hmm. How long does it take to call them back?
1 to 2 business days as of now. I hope that doesn't change. It has been different in the past, but we also are open to changing that process if it stops working. Like if we need more immediate transfer to.
It would be you, but it would be from the resource center that they get sent this form. It's not from the reception area.
It's from the assigned. So when the resource center assigns them to work with someone in Family Support Services, let's say it's me, I work with that person. I will call them. I'll say, hi, I'm Haviva. We actually have a form. Well, I'll say more than that. But we actually have a form we would like you to fill out. What's the best way to get that to you? Mail, email? So that way they know they're sending it to me. I'll be working with them. They're not just sending it to someone random. Not that the resource center is random, but it's continuation of care. That if they're sending it to me, I'll be following up. Yeah, that's a good question. I have so much more I could say, and I'm aware of time. But
it's really great.
I'm wondering if we want to hear from someone from Canada before we do this survey.
I can do. Okay. I can share the draft that we created if you want.
Sure. Was someone going to share earlier though? Our first one.
Is that Rosa? Yes. No.
Was that Rosie? Rosa.
Yes, hi. Hi. Yeah, I could share my screen. I work for the Jewish Family Services here in Seattle, and the way we process new financial assistance is by sending them the link or letting them know that they have to go on our website on Mondays. And this is pretty much how it looks. That's what they have to submit, their name. I just put test in here, you know, annual household, disability, whether they're Jewish or not, what kind of help they're asking, how much, their information. So once we receive this, hold on a second. Yeah, we assess and then we select from all the applications we select and we contact them the next day, whether they were selected or not, we let them know.
Why wouldn't they be selected?
It's a priority that we have for Jewish, non-Jewish, what they're asking for, if it's rent, if it's not rent.
Who decides that?
There's a team that decides. So we are having priority to household with children, vulnerable, disabled, and Jewish or non-Jewish. Yeah. And then once the decision is taken, then we send them the application. This is pretty much the intake application. As you can see, it's pretty similar demographic like everybody else has. And since we've been having a lot
I don't think we saw anything new here.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Stop sharing. Now you can see it?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So this is the intake forms that we send them. They're fillable, mm-hmm. and the client describes, you know, their demographic, their situation. There's a part where they can put their income, if it's COVID related or not.
I think that's pretty clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we also
fast, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. It's okay.
It's pretty much the same as you guys have shared. And then we ask them for permission to contact their landlords, or we require a W-9, the copy of the lease, and a ledger from the landlord. They sign. And then we also ask them that we will contact them in 6 months or 12 months to see their current, how they're doing. Let me share the other, the participation agreement that we have.
I think that looks pretty good too. I don't know if anyone would be willing to send me the links or whatever so we can put them in a resource library. If possible. Yeah. I know Jen asked.
How does everybody prove that it's a COVID related financial issue?
Yeah, we in our cases, we're just going by word of mouth. We don't even check for IDs.
Oh, wow. No.
We don't check for incomes. No.
Yeah, that's not something we can do. That's why.
Yeah. So this is the participation agreement, you know, that we read and agree that we will contact them. And if they were coming to the building, which we haven't done for a year now, everything is done by email and phone calls. But that's the participation.
Well, that's great. Let's try to get Tatiana in for the last 5 minutes, and then you guys have to stay on to do the survey, right? Because that's important. Thank you. That was great.
Okay. Do you see my screen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we started actually developing a case management model at the JFS that would cover all the programs. So we try to standardize it. And Rita, who is present here, she is the coordinator. She's a project manager for developing this kind of program. So we started doing it a couple of months ago. And I believe about a month and a half ago, I actually asked the group to share their intake and assessment forms. And quite a few agencies shared them with me. So Lisa, if you want me to share the forms that other agencies shared with me, we can email it to you. So
terrific.
I'm very much grateful for all the forms that other agencies shared. It helped Rita to work on intake form and the assessment form.
Terrific.
So that we try to start implementing the program from the beginning of April. So this form looks like almost a final version. So Rita can just explain a little bit more in details how the form, what the form is about. So Rita, go ahead. I can just scroll the screen down if you need.
Sure. Hello, everyone. So a lot of the language here is based off of funding, for funding purposes, what our main funders are looking for. We have separated the intake form from the assessment form. So in the intake, it could be done, completed over a phone call or dependent on COVID, potentially eventually be in person. But this is just a two-page form. Just getting the basic information from the clients, so where we would determine if we can offer them services, if we can accommodate to their needs within our existing, with our existing resources in-house. So yeah, this is basic information that we need. From this, we can create the client file in our CanFit, which is our database program. Yeah, so the assessment form is much more in depth, and our relief assessment, financial assessment will be completed by the case manager that they are then referred to.
So this is pretty easy. I mean, it's a two-page intake form. And as Rita said, we have addendums, which we call them. So for relief program, which is financial assistance, they will complete additional form by the case management, by the case manager during their first meeting. Then we have a home support addendum. Again, it will be completed at the assessment done by the case manager. Holocaust survivor support program. And we ran into a little bit resistance from the counselors team. They are so far insisting on having their own intake. So they don't want their clients who call the agency only for counseling to go through the general assessment. So right now we're having a conversation with them and they have an internal conversation about whether the counselor's clients should go directly to the counseling team intake, just to avoid additional contacts, especially because it's very vulnerable, emotionally vulnerable, mentally vulnerable clients. So that's it about our intake and case management.
Are those the most recent Canadian LICO figures that you use for financial?
Yes, Alberta specifically, the province we're in.
Guys, this was really great. Is this something that we would want to consider having a part two? What do you guys think? Do you think that, and then we have these great questions that came up in the chat about how many financial assistance requests we're receiving a day and COVID, you know, now some are down, you know, the COVID. But what do you guys think? What do you think, Jen? Do you think this is a good part two or?
I thought it was excellent. There's so, you know, looking at everyone's process and seeing who has databases and how practically they, how many people would want to share who haven't had a chance to share?
Mary, see you, Mary.
Mary, anyone else would want to share their process? So maybe
otherwise,
Rosa, where are you calling them? Where are you getting 120 per week? Are you in Edmonton, Rosa?
No. Someone asked.
What agency are you with?
Oh, JFS Seattle.
Seattle. Oh, yeah, you just talked to us. Yeah. Unbelievable. Sorry.
Sorry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Lisa Boca sees that, if not more. We're about the same.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be helpful to do something where we meet in our smaller groups according to sizes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that brings us to the
point. That's a great idea.
Okay, so you see this on the right? I just gave you that link. I want you all to go to it right now. It shouldn't take you more than 5 minutes. And we have to leave by 4 because I have another call using this. So go to it and I'll stop talking.
Go to the chat and click on the SurveyMonkey link from the chat. And thank you, Haviva, for sending your form. That is so cool.
Yeah, I wasn't ignoring anyone. I saw an error in the form I shared. I was like trying to fix it quickly. So I did share it in the chat. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're so good.
So client financial assistant, I'm going to write this. This is JFS Detroit, right?
Yes. And if you notice any other issues with it, let me know. I can fix it up. I was just trying to see how accurate I can make it, because it should be a calculator for everyone when you input numbers. So if there's an error,
is everyone looking at the survey?
Yep.
Okay, I'll
stop talking.
Now
we all should be doing the survey right now. We're doing it real time together.
Lisa, can you help me? I'm having a hard time getting to the survey. This is Janice.
Okay, I'll set email to you right now.
Okay.
Okay. You were quiet today, Janice.
Yes, I have been. But it's because I'm looking at these forms, which have been pretty amazing. And our form is extremely basic. So I am a little bit blown away.
I mean, Janice, this is my form. It's like crap. Okay.
There you go.
Is anyone using Unicentric?
But it's free form.
Who asked something?
Does anyone use Unicentric?
Unicentric?
Okay.
Is that what you use?
So we're in between. Our clinical uses Unicentric, and our refugee immigration and pantry use Apricot Social Solutions. And so for, you know, emergency basic needs, we're using spreadsheets and a little bit of Unicentric. So, yeah.
So you and Mary might want to think about sharing next week. Okay, so just keep that in mind, Lisa, that Mary and Matt. And where are you, Matt? You again? Matthew, where are you?
Pittsburgh,
that's right. And Mary, you're in?
Columbus, Ohio.
Okay. Yeah, neighbors. Yeah.
And we use Best Notes as a database for all of our stuff, clinical and workforce and new country, new jobs.
So you know what I just realized? That I could say goodbye to you all. Well, the whole place, we'd all have to end, but you can continue doing the form because it's not connected to.
Right.
Right. I just realized that, as long as you complete it while you're here. And I think I do have to get off now, and I'm so sorry, but this was a really good meeting where you all got to share some important documentation. And I want to thank Jen and Rebecca, because that was your genius idea. So next time we're going to be breaking into rooms and doing different kinds of things. So this is going to be even more interactive and engaging, we're hoping. So thank you all. Hopefully you'll be at the conference the 19th to the 22nd.
Thanks.
And I don't know, Jen or Rebecca, you want to end with anything?
Well, no, I just want everyone just to, if you guys can just, we have 3 more minutes to 4 o'clock. If everybody could just keep, stay with the survey, because it really will help us know what you need from us, what you want.
Jen, you want to say anything?
Sorry I was late. Thanks for sharing. I think it's great when people are sharing. It's very helpful.
Yes, it is. Okay, I'm saying goodbye. Keep on doing that. Thank you so much. Bye, everyone.
Bye, Lisa.